All right. It's November 10th, 11:30 a.m., and we are going on the record with petition number 20-071. Taxpayer's name is Aldo DiCola. And this is, parcel number R09223195780000174 0. My name is Robert Hicks. I'm the special magistrate presiding over this hearing. Special magistrate is an independent, impartial, and unbiased hearing officer. The special magistrate does not work for the property appraiser or for the tax collector and is independent of the property appraiser and the tax collector. Special magistrate is not influenced by the property appraiser or the tax collector. This hearing will be conducted in an orderly, fair, and unbiased manner. The law does not allow the special magistrate to review any evidence unless it is presented on the record at the hearing or presented upon agreement of the parties while the record is open. And the law requires a special magistrate to evaluate the relevance and credibility of the evidence in deciding the results of this petition. With that, we will swear everyone in. You raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Okay, and then if we can just go around the room and have everybody introduce themselves and how they're related to this matter.
Yes, my name is Jeff Ewing with ITAX, representing the property owner, Aldo and Grace DiCola.
Okay.
I'm Freddie or James Blackburn with the Hernando County Property Appraiser's Office.
Okay.
Sam Gomez with the County Appraiser's Office.
Nice and loud. That's good. Okay. With that, we will have the property appraiser verify the values for the record. Just value, assessed value, and taxable value.
Yes, sir. The just value is $373,823, assessed value $363,987, taxable value $363,987.
Okay. And if you could describe the property and explain how you derived your assessment.
The property is located in a gated community of Cascades, Southern Hills here in Brooksville, and it's within the city limits. It's got a different millage rate altogether compared to the county. And so we used the comparable sales within that community, even though this property is large in size, one of the larger homes within the community. But we still feel like we hopefully have the information here to support that value. Using the sales within the Cascades, even though they were minimal amount of sales.
All right. Do you have a package?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to mark this as Property Appraisers Exhibit A. And was the evidence exchanged under the rules?
Yes, sir.
15-day notice? Okay. Okay. Go ahead with your presentation.
The subject property was sold on May 2020 for $195,000. We did a sales review recently in October 2020. The appraiser found the home to be of average quality and good condition. The home was built in 2007 and is composed of 3,877 adjusted square feet and currently has a market rate of $95 per adjusted square foot. As we said before, that we completed the research within the subject's market area and reported the sales on page 2 as our analysis. The comparable sales range from $101 to $120 per adjusted square foot. After adjusting for the difference between the subject property and the comparables and deducting cost of sale, the comparable sales range from $77 to $95 per adjusted square foot. The petitioner's rate is at $95 per adjusted square foot and falls within the range of sales. The property appraisers has considered all criteria relevant to the Florida Statute 193.011, with greatest emphasis being placed on the sales comparison approach.
I'm trying to find the buildings. Are the building sizes on this grid?
Yes, sir. On the building adjusted square foot would be line. Sorry, I don't have the line items itemized or lined or numbered, but it's down about 3/4 of the way down, left-hand side.
It has the square, the size of the building, the size of the homes?
Base living?
Yeah.
They're on the property record cards, and not on the sales grid, no, sir.
Okay.
But if you would like, I can go through these real quick and give you
I just, you noted at the outset that this was larger than the other ones, so I just was trying to see how much.
Yes, sir. The subject's base is 3,130 square feet. Comp 1, base square foot, 2,026. Comp 2, 1,696. 3, 1,693. 4 is 2,322.
Okay. And now I'm finally seeing this. It says building adjusted square foot 3,877 for the subject. Is that?
Yes, sir.
Gross, that's a gross number?
That adjusted square foot, we're basically, instead of making garage adjustments and it's kind of, we use the adjusted square foot.
So is that what you use in your, when you use your, apply your $95, is that to that 3877 or is it to the 3130?
It's to the adjusted square foot of 3877.
Okay. All right. I was just trying to understand. Okay. I didn't see that before, but I see it now. Okay.
You would like to go through every one of them, every line item, or you have any,
I'm just going to go through your package here. So then the next page
Yes.
Map of the locations?
Yes, sir. Page 3 would be the map location.
Okay.
And then, let's see. Pages 4 through 6 would be the property record cards for the subject property.
Okay.
And then pages 7 through 18 would be all the comparable property record cards.
This one just not built yet, or?
Yes, sir. During the time of the aerials, they weren't. They were.
Oh, I see. There's an aerial and a photograph?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. I'm up to this grid of how to figure adjusted square foot.
Yes, sir. It kind of goes a little bit more in detail about the adjusted square foot that we use to derive values for Hernando County. And on page 20 is another example of how we break down the adjusted square foot. Like the garage is 55%, so we take the total square foot of 944. Now, this is just an example. It's not based on the subject property and the comparables, just a random example. And then that 944 square foot garage gets multiplied by 55%. And then the adjusted square foot of that would be 519 and so forth to get the total of adjusted square foot. So it's making basically a size adjustment.
Okay.
And page 21 is getting a little bit more breakdown of the percentages of breakdown. And basically this is off of Marshall and Swift. And then page 22 and 23 are basically some description description codes for the area codes. For base, it's base living, GRF for garage, etc. Pages 24, 25, and 26 is just the descriptions of any kind of feature code that you may have a question on, like an SP1, it's a swimming pool, and the measurements of that SP1, etc.
All right.
And then I also put a description for land codes, which would be page 28 and 29. And then page 30 and 31 would be the structure type codes and definitions. And then page 32 is the evidentiary letter. And then 33 is our cover sheet for cost of sale, our DR 493. And then 34 is our DR 493 cost of sale adjustment. And then 35 is the IAAO position of adjustments to sale prices, and then our legal support on the through 36 through 66.
Okay, so you said you consider the 8 criteria?
Yes, sir.
Location, by having them in the same neighborhood. How about cost and income?
Income, they're not really a high rent. As far as I know, we don't have enough sales data to really do an income approach.
Okay.
And the cost of sale, these are a little bit older homes. I may have a, in my sales grid here, I may have an 18, but most of them are a little mix of new construction, old construction. So we went with the sales approach.
Okay.
Because we have more information.
All right. Going back to the grid, it looks like that really the only adjustment is for the age. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And yes, sir, that was it for the age of the home.
Is that based on like an age life?
Yes, sir. We used 2,000 or basically 2%. Roughly, it's not exactly works out to 2%, but it's 1.6. We just used the flat rate of 2,000 across the board.
Okay. All right. Anything further?
Not at this time.
All right. Sounds good. With that, we will have the petitioner present their evidence. Do you have a package?
Yes, Special Magistrate.
We'll mark this as petitioner's evidence, exhibit number one.
I will apologize that the photos aren't in color. I thought perhaps that there would be original copies, but on monitor. So that's my mistake. Sorry.
That's all right, no problem.
So as we go through it, what we'll see on the on page one is just basically my introductory letter for the evidence that we'll be presenting today. And then the following pages are just the subject information sheets from the county appraiser's office. As it was noted, the subject property is a single-family residence in the Cascades of here in the Southern Hills area. The only thing that wasn't mentioned that I think is important to note is that the subject property is an age-restricted community, so 55 and older, which isn't really an issue as far as the comps go, because the property appraiser also used comps from that immediate community, and I also use comps from the immediate community. However, because of the lack of recent or comparable sales, I did expand my search, as we'll see going forward, into another age-restricted community to find similar size properties and age properties to the subject property. It was noted that the subject property is a 2007 built, and it does have an adjusted square footage of 3,877 square feet, which you also notice in my evidence as we get to the grid. I use the a heated area or living space for the subject property, and also the comps when it came to making adjustments. But I just wanted to point out that, as mentioned, the subject property was marketed through multiple listing sales, MLS, and sold, as noted, in May of 2020 for the $195,000. This sale was disqualified from by the property appraiser's office. However, I'm not certain why it was disqualified, as it was a marketed sale and listed on ML. As you go forward, you'll also see that the subject property's ML listing is in there, and it was listed at $229,000, as mentioned, sold for $195,000 in May of 2020. You'll see the interior photos of the subject property, and you'll also notice that around the time of the date of assessment, January 1, 2020, it was last listed in 11 of 2019 for $268,000. And then you can see through the history, it dropped, price decreased into the new year, and then sold for the $195,000. You'll see the photographs of the subject property through the ML. I have also included some documentation of the subject's community, which is now being built by Inland Builders. And it shows the home designs and sizes of the properties that are being constructed and the price points of those properties. You'll also see the location map of the subject's community. On page 20, I've included...
Are these numbered?
You know, it's. I'm not sure if they are. I apologize, special
All right, I'm up to this picture.
Okay, yeah. Just after that, you're going to get to... It's basically an Excel spreadsheet of three data sets.
So these are these pictures are the pictures of the comps?
Those are actually the pictures of the community, the Cascades, that are currently being built. It's just information about the properties that are being built currently in the Cascades, new construction, and their price points.
Okay. All right. So now I'm up to this page.
Yes. So this... set of data is being shown to show that what we feel that the subject property is actually an over-improvement. As noted, it's an age-restricted community, and as also identified already, it's an adjusted square footage of 3,877 feet. This community was originally being built in 2006, 2007. Of course, we know what happened shortly after that. The market crashed, and really, there was a hold on construction and building in there. But you can see the very top there in that data set of 2006 to 2007, the subject property is the largest. There's one other property at 2959, and then it just starts to go down from there. The average size of the properties being built in that time period was 2,066 feet. We moved to 2010 to 2013. When they start rebuilding in there, we see that they, again, they're not building 3,000-plus adjusted feet homes. They're building 1,822 square feet or adjusted feet. And then, again, it goes into a halt because of the market correction. 2017, they start building again when the market starts to take off. And, again, we see nothing close to being built of 3,000-plus feet. And I apologize. These are base areas, not adjusted. The base area is 1,849. So, clearly, it's not a property that... in my opinion, I think this evidence shows that it is an over-improvement for the community. So, and it's important that I point it out because when I get into my my comparables, I'm not adjusting over 2,400 feet on the heated area or living area because I've determined that that's the demarcation of where this property really loses value after the 2,400 square feet. So... And you'll notice that that's basically using those three data sets, the subject property is greater than 60% larger than the average single-family home within this community. These are all within the Cascades.
Okay.
So now we get to the next package or evidence sheet, which is my sales. And again, the only thing that's really I want to point out is I use the heated area for my comps or the base area, whereas the property appraiser uses a total adjusted area. And I capped it at that 2,400 because, in my opinion, I think anything over that's an over improvement, and therefore it's really putting the value for the subject property at a higher market value than it should be. So we actually do share one sale, which property appraiser is sale number 4. It's the 5149, and that's my comp number 3. And so my comps number 1 through 4 are all within the Cascades. I did utilize comp number 1 as the subject sale. I feel it is a probative evidence for determining the subject's market value, even though it has occurred after January 1, 2020. Comps 5, 6, and 7 are from a competing neighborhood, age-restricted neighborhood, Wellington. And again, these are properties that I feel are comparable, especially when it comes to the age of the property. Whereas I was helped with these properties to make a market abstraction for the difference in the age of the subject. So you'll see my range with the after adjustments to my comps, including the lowest one being the subject at 195 and the highest one adjusting out to 272,180. It is my opinion, after basing, looking at these sales and making my adjustments at $65 a foot for the difference in size and a dollar for the difference in land, which really isn't much of an adjustment on these properties, an average of $247,393 less cost of sale brings it to $210,284. So slightly higher than what the property was actually purchased at $195.
Is that on this page? Because my bottom line got cut off.
Yes, just at... it should be right at the bottom line there.
Bottom line, it's all I can see is date prepared and SAR and eighth criteria requested MV. That's all I have.
Did it perhaps print onto the next page, top of the next page? I apologize for that.
Next page is this.
It may. Okay.
I mean, do you want to write it on here?
Sure, if you don't mind. Thank you.
Apologize for that. Yeah, it's just a technical thing. Do you have that evidence, what he's looking at right there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and does yours have the number on the bottom?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's the 210,284?
Yes, that would be my requested market value. The market value comes to 247, and the 393, and then the cost of sale brings it to the 210,000, 284 that Mr. Blackburn pointed out.
Thank you. Okay.
So, and you'll see in my comments there, subject property again located.
So the 247,393. That's your, what is that? That's
total market
that's
value.
Just value.
Just value. And then I feel as that after the just value.
Oh, that's 50% off of that.
15% off of that, or at 85%, bringing it to that 210.
Okay, I just want to understand what the numbers mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, again, in my comments, it just mentions that the subject property being sold, even though it was after the date of assessment, I do feel it is a good source of evidence, a probative evidence to indicate what the subject property value being currently assessed at $373,823 is greatly overvalued considering what they paid for it. My following documentation is really just the supporting evidence for the sales that were considered. It's the property appraiser's printouts of the property cards for those properties. And when available, the MLS listings are also been provided for those sales with their interior photos and also location maps of where they are located.
That's the entire. That's the rest of this?
That's correct. It's just the supporting documentation for the comps. After you get through the comp packages, I also have included the DR 493 signed by the Hernando County property appraiser, which also indicates the 15% cost of sale. I have also included the DOR real property transfer codes, which is right after the DR 493. As noted, the subject's property sale in May of 2020 has been disqualified. I don't know if it will, for the purposes of it being disqualified, I wasn't able to determine why the property appraiser did disqualify it, because it didn't meet any of the criteria here in the DOR transfer codes that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And I also included the warranty deeds of the previous owner of the subject property, just to show that even though there were a couple different transfers, it was the same ownership. It was not a bank sale. I just want to point that out. It was not a distressed sale. I just truly feel that it sat on the market for as long as it did, and it sold for what it did, because age-restricted community isn't really drawing buyers for a 3,800 adjusted square foot property. So that's why I also determined that it was an over-improvement and didn't make adjustments for anything over the 2,400 feet. But you'll see through the warranty deed there that it was the same ownership through those transfers if needed. And the last page is just the eighth criteria.
Actually, I got this. I don't think I got that, but I got this convert implementation limit exceeded.
Well, chuck that one up to the printer, I guess. It was the eighth criteria.
Eighth criteria. Yeah. They have the eighth criteria in there.
I think they do as well, yes.
All right, anything further?
Not at this time. I have some rebuttal when it's ready.
All right. With that, let me just look at this again. So basically you're saying that the crux of the reason that it sold for less is because of the size?
Correct.
And the demand for that size in that submarket of 55 up plus.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Property appraiser, do you have rebuttal evidence?
Yes, sir. A little bit there. So I guess to answer some questions just to, on why we disqualified sale. At our office, there's the deeds go through to a process. The first process is by a deed processor, and she looks at the deed alone. And then after she looks at the deed alone, she may qualify it or disqualify it based on her research. And then once I get it, then I do the research on disqualifying and qualified sales. And I haven't done a whole lot of 2020 sales right now. We're still working through this year, and I just probably have not come across this one. But if I do find it listed and it was on the open market, and I will overturn a disqualified sale and qualify it. So this, hopefully, again, once I get through my year, I will overturn this and qualify this sale. That's okay. The reason why.
Okay. Well, I mean, based on evidence here, I mean, you're thinking that would probably happen.
Oh, yes, sir.
So would you reconsider that in your analysis?
It'll be used for next year. Of the sale date, we assess to derive our values for 2020 was basically the 2019 sales, and this one was sold in 2020, May of 2020. So that'll be for next year's evaluations.
Okay.
We didn't use it for this year's.
All right. Does it draw any cause that maybe it was overassessed if that is actually the value in 2020, even though it's not to be considered? I mean, it's not considered.
Well,
it didn't happen by the date of the value. I mean,
it was listed
on
for
the market at that during that period.
It was listed for a long time on the market.
Right.
But I don't know where the market data that was extracted that shows that size is a factor. I don't know if there's any other concerns or issues that it has. I mean, there's so many other things. It looks like the owner was owner of a mortgage company. As you can, I think the petitioners turned in the sunbiz.org that shows Michael Krizmanich. Was also owner Self Finance, which is a mortgage company. from my research, I didn't bring all that with me, but I think he may have passed away, and that people, I mean, there's a lot of variables that the family want to try to get rid of that piece of property, and not that it was listed. It was listed, obviously, for a long time, so I don't think that's the issue, that they were just trying to unload the property. It's just a weird sell at the end of the day, but there's not enough market data within Cascades to say that it's an oversized. So I went to the Wellington, which is the community the taxpayer went into, and tried to do some market data in the Wellington. And I pulled three different sales grids on the Wellington from houses ranging. And again, I use adjusted square foot of the office, so forgive us. But I pulled sales of 1,000 square foot homes, 2,000 square foot homes, and 3,000 square foot homes to try to look at the market to see if there was a difference in the rate based on sizes. So of 3,000 square foot range homes, there was only two in the Wellington, and the square foot rate median. Now, when I talk square foot rate, I'm talking about the adjusted. It was $88.51. I went to the 2,000 square foot homes within the Wellington, and there were 46 sales. And out of those 46 sales, the square foot rate median was $89.85. And then the 1,000 square foot adjusted square foot homes, there were 36 sales in the Wellington, and have a square foot rate median of $91.99. So there's a difference between the 1,000s, 2,000s, but it's not a substantial by any means. So, I mean, yes, size is a factor by all means. But a huge factor is based on the Wellington information. Now, that's a different subdivision.
But it's showing a trend towards the lower price per square foot for the larger properties?
Correct. And you figure the smaller homes were roughly $92 square foot rate median. And then the next tier of 2,000 were, if you want to round it up, $90 a square foot.
Right.
And then 3,000 would be 89. So it was a couple dollars difference.
Close. Is the Wellington subdivision considered similar to the subdivision?
It is a gated community. It has a bigger clubhouse. It's in Spring Hill. It's in the county millage rate versus the Brooksville millage rate. So there's a difference in taxes.
So you're saying it's superior?
Based on the sales data, I think the Cascades is superior based on what they're selling per
Cascades
rate.
Cascades is superior.
Yes, sir. Based on what they're selling for per square foot rate.
Is this subdivision also 55 plus?
Based on his testimony, both of them are 55 and up.
Okay. I'm just trying to determine whether in this subdivision would be relevant to... I mean, I don't know these two subdivisions. So.
The biggest thing I would say would be the millage rate could be a concern. But
one's outside the city.
One's within the city limit, which is like a 20-something, $21 millage rate versus a 16-something millage rate.
Okay. CDDs?
But anyway, they're comparable as far as amenities.
Okay.
I think the Wellington may have a little bit more amenities as far as bingo night, spaghetti night, and that kind of stuff versus the Cascades. But I don't have any verbiage or literature on that. On the sales grid of the petitioner's sales grid, I just want to see if the math. I guess on comparable cell number two, one of the adjustments for building size is 6,435 square feet. The land adjusted square foot is minus 2,832. When you do the math, I think it comes out to 3,603, and the petitioner put down 2,238. So,
which is number two, you said?
On comparable cell number two.
So you're saying the size is not, it was not 2301?
It looks like the net adjustment should be 3603 instead of 2238 on the net adjustment at the bottom of comp 2.
I agree with that. Looks like the math is off.
3603.
So you have the adjusted price on that?
No, sir. I didn't finish it out. I just...
Going to make me do it now.
Sorry.
That's all right. That's what I'm here for.
If I may, it should be 223,503, I believe.
223,503, yeah, I got that too. Okay.
Also on comp 7, I believe the net adjustment should be 10,663 versus the 4878.
Agree to that as well. Adjust it out to 254,663. Thank you, Mr. Blackburn.
Yes, sir.
Do you have per square foot on that? I could. What does that change to 103.72?
103.70
is the per square foot. So if it's the.
It went. Price. Yes, it went to 106.11.
106.11. Okay. And number two, do you know what that one is?
9313.
Okay. All right. Anything further?
The other thing I just I don't know, based on the sales grid that I did of in the Cascades, they're all DRAs. Some of them have water, some of them back up, but they're, when the plat was platted, they're platted for DRAs. And I guess some of them are holding water, and then others back up to woods and kind of let the natural wetlands flow the water. But at the end of the day, there was a negative $15,000 adjustment for lake. In my opinion, it just might be a little extreme of $15,000 for a DRA with a little bit of some water in it. I consider the lake of $15,000 when the land value alone on comp 3 and 4. Let me find his comp 3 and 4.
All right, well, I think he, quick math, I think he reconciled to 103, which is below those two numbers. I mean, it's significantly below 109 and 113 per square foot.
All right.
Well, maybe not 98. 101.
From what I could see on the comp 1, the land value or the land rate that we have on it anyway was 249. Comp 2, the land rate was 265. Comp 3, we used 249, which is considered lakefront. Comp 4 is 276 land rate. That's also waterfront. And comp 5 is $3.40 a square foot. Comp 6 is $2.96 a square foot. and the land on comp 7 is 272. I come up with an average of the 7 at $2.83 a square foot. You're talking, these land values are ranging without any adjustment from $22,000 to $31,000, and I feel like a $15,000 adjustment is a little high when the average of all the land values roughly are $30,000. That cuts the value in half. That's all. I just want to make a point that it just...
Okay.
Also, I have a concern that anything over 2,400, he used 2,400 base and capped it and said that anything after that would be a minimal value, but there was no adjustment for minimal value. Anything over the 24, the remaining square foot of that, there was no adjustment for that. Even though it may be minimal amount, there's got to be some value to that structure over that 2,400 base square living that he used.
Okay.
And that's,
what was the actual net heated building area on that?
3130.
Okay. Okay.
Let me just verify that real quick. Yes, sir. 3130.
All right. And here we're going a little bit back and forth between different size measurements. But I think it's consistent because he used the same sizes with his comps and the subject, and so did you. So I don't think that's an issue. It's harder to compare the two analysis when they're under using different sizes. But
doing bad. No, I don't know. I feel in my opinion, there's got to be something left over for that 600 square feet. It's got, even if it's $10 a square foot. Right. I mean,
okay. Anything else?
Not right now.
All right. Petitioner, do you have a rebuttal of the property appraiser's evidence?
Yes. So I just wanted to highlight that the property appraiser did determine that they would qualify the subject sale, even though it's after the date of assessment, but it did seem that they would qualify the sale going forward. I think that's important to help us determine what the market value for January 1, 2020 is. Just going to circle back to the adjustment for the lake. You know, I'm not going to disagree a whole lot with the $15,000. I do think there should be an adjustment made for the difference in the view. I'll leave that up to you, magistrate, to decide if you feel it should be less or more. Doesn't make much of a difference to the value to me. One of the other things that I mentioned was about Wellington was a superior neighborhood. It also would suggest that this is an accurate statement when you look at the property appraiser's land rates for the difference in the communities. They have a higher land rate in Wellington. So it would seem that they must feel that it is a more desirable or has a greater market value or marketability than the Cascades, at least at this point, through their own land rates. It was also noted that we see a diminishing value. The larger the property, the less of the square foot. And the one of the problems I do have with the methodology of getting into a value is they're doing a square foot price methodology, and they haven't even abstracted the land value. So I feel like that's not an appropriate or a good methodology, even though we're using a lot of the same sales, but. In my instance of the evidence, I'm making adjustments for the differences. I come to an end value, market value, and I figure out what an estimated value for a subject property should be, and then apply that 15% cost of sale. So I do agree 100%. We see the diminishing value in a larger property. Now, just as by way of rebuttal, if I could present to the property appraiser. Because I didn't realize that they use adjusted square footage until I received their evidence. So what I did do is I prepared my analysis two different ways, and I brought copies for everyone if it's permitted. But what I did is I used the adjusted square footage for the subject property of that 3877 and used it also for the comparable sales. And I'm not going to disagree that is there some contributory value for the difference in the size? I thought perhaps I would not disagree with that. He used $10. I actually went $35. So I made
in your analysis?
In my analysis.
So in your analysis, did you use the larger size, then you didn't use 2,400, you used the full size?
I used the full size, and I used the adjusted square footage on the subject and all the comparables to just apples to apples here. I want to try to be on the same page with the property appraiser, but still identify that our subject property is greatly overvalued. So it's the same workup that you'll have in front of you, except the numbers for the property, subject property, and the comps are all put to the adjusted square footage. So,
okay.
And you'll notice also that those two comps that you picked up on already that had an error in the adjustment. They're going to have that same, error here. But
we would refuse. But
well, it's rebuttal.
It's all right.
So I think that he did provide you with the evidence up front, and then you provided with him evidence, and then after that, the rebuttal evidence, I believe, can be admitted because he wouldn't have had time to.
Okay,
to get it into you, but you can look it over and go ahead. I'm going to mark this number two. There's no room to mark it.
So you will notice that on comp number two and comp number seven, where Mr. Blackburn did identify those errors, they also carried over to here. So if I could just, on record, net adjustment for comp number two should actually be $36,788. And the adjusted sales price comes to $256,688.
This is what's on number two?
That's on number two.
Is that what's the square foot?
Square footage is that 2745 adjusted square. Oh, I apologize. It comes to $64.86.
Well, that's what it says on here. You said you made a change?
Oh, yes. $66.21. Thank you, Magistrate.
And did you change it? Oh, that was number two?
That was number two.
Okay.
Comp number seven, the change on the net adjustment will be $39,518. And the adjusted square foot would be $7,313.
Okay.
The adjusted sales price $283,518. So again, in my opinion, looking at these sales and trying to be equal with the property appraiser and the way they determine value, I'm making an adjustment for the over improvement at $35 a foot. And doing so, I still come to a full market value of $282, less cost of sale $239. So it's still way overvalued at the current value of $373,823. And again, I think the one of the other items as far as rebuttal, I didn't use 2018 sales. Property appraiser does on their comps 1 and 2, even though they are December of 2018. I didn't use those. I'm using 7 sales, which helps me to come up with a good market abstraction on the effective age adjustment, which I think is not really being addressed appropriately in the property appraiser's evidence.
Okay.
And that can be seen, obviously, through market abstraction on the comparable sales that I've considered.
All right. Anything else?
One last thing just to throw it out there. I mean, as he said earlier that the Wellington is more of a, in your superior?
I believe that's what you had said, yes.
No, I was saying that the Cascades was more superior, but I think you said that the Wellington, so we're at a cross bridge there, I guess, but anyway.
But are the values, the land values are higher, and which, do you know which subdivision?
The sale prices right now across the top of the taxpayer, the sheet of paper that he just gave us, he said they stopped at comp 4. I think comps 1 through 4 are the Cascades, 5, 6, and 7 be the Wellington, and based on the sale prices, I mean.
Okay. But basically, yeah. They're both, I mean, they're both they're 55 seven. And above.
Yeah, they're 7.
Okay. The one question I did have is on the property appraiser's analysis, I see where, I mean, you have basically had a range, adjusted range of 77, 83, 85, 95, but reconciled to 95, right?
Basically, I just said that at the end of the day, he feels the petitioner's value falls within the bell-shaped curve, the range.
Right.
So, yes, sir, we felt like because he was close to the range that there was no adjustment required on our side at this time.
But based on your sales, you reconciled to the upper end, the top of the range on a per square foot basis?
We just did the range. We didn't really reconcile. So, I mean, his value is 373,823 is the market value. And on the high side, yes, sir, I guess you could say it, the maximum.
Okay.
Is 370. So we're a little higher by $600 or so, but
The just value is 373,823, right?
Yes, sir.
And your upper end of the range at $95 indicates 373,282.
Yes, sir. And that's on comp number 4, which is a 2,894 square foot adjusted square foot home. Granted, it was built in 2018. We took off $22,000 for the age adjustment to get to the 95. The rest of them, obviously, were smaller in stature at 2,006 adjusted square foot, 2,043, and 24. But just that alone, if there's a size issue, it's still this 2,894 adjusted square foot home, which is a larger home compared to the other three, still sold for $95 a square foot. Or actually, beforehand, $120 a square foot before any adjustments.
All right. Okay. I mean, I guess my point was just in the range of these sales, and you reconcile, or at least the assessment is at the cap of the range, but there was some discussion about how the larger properties generally have a lower per square foot price. So I was just making that point. But.
Gotcha. Yes, sir.
Okay. So if there's nothing further on this one, I think I will take this under advisement and write the recommendation this weekend. And if there's nothing more than this one, we'll bring this hearing to a close.
Thank you, Special Magistrate.